Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Facebook, a little pocket awareness. Also, follow us on Twitter at DMarkJohn, NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Also, iTunes, hit the subscribe button. Go ahead and get that done as well, and Spotify as well. We can hear this as well and download there. Of course, we're going to be reviewing quarterbacks and nothing but quarterbacks this week. We got some better performances this past week. Actually, some pretty decent quarterback play all around. Not all around. You know, your Packers lost to Tyler Heinicke.
And I kind of made mention of that in the last episode.
Yeah.
Did me bringing it up, was that karma? Is that what I did? Did I, like, bring it upon us?
I don't know, but for fantasy, I really hope that Heinicke keeps playing, because I have Terry McLaurin, and he finally has some production.
Dude, he had a good weekend. Beat up Jair pretty good. Like, homeboy, that defense, man, they just needed some humble pie. They're driving me insane, Marcus. Just absolutely insane. They couldn't get off the field on third down. They score two touchdowns, but one of them gets taken back, and I'm a little pissed off about the call. Like, there's zero consistency with the referees in the NFL, but you have to play better. You have to play better than how the refs are going to call the game. Over the last three games, I have felt a very large disparity of the calls going against – the Packers versus for the Packers. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's the NFL. It happens every week. Somebody's going to experience it, and the team is not good enough to overcome their own penalties, whether deserved or not. So,
I didn't know you guys blew an 11-point lead.
Dude, they, like, it was 14, I think it was 14-7, and then they returned a fumble for a touchdown that got overturned because of they called Eric Stokes for defensive holding when all he did was, after 5 yards, he put his hands out, or it was illegal contact maybe. And that, by the definition of the rule, yes, it was illegal contact, but, like, they're just in a typical corner wide receiver, like, hands on each other position. Nobody's actually gaining any type of ground it was just awful. And it overturned a touchdown. It was going to be 21-7. The momentum was all in the Packers' favor. And then the wind changed, and Heinicke all of a sudden became just an absolute god at the quarterback position. And the Packers couldn't get home defensively. Offensively, so many drops. Aaron Rodgers, I think, three different times on camera going, "What are we doing?" The execution is just awful on both sides of the ball. For me, that's exactly what it is. It's execution, and I would like to see a better effort of getting Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon the ball. Combined, they should have 30 touches a game.
That's what I would like to see. They were up, and they didn't run the ball that much. That's weird.
They're the best two players on the offense behind Aaron Rodgers. Like, you want Rodgers to throw the ball? Fine. Line up in a two-back set, Jones on one side, Dillon on the other, motion Jones out into a slot or all the way out, split all the way wide to the left. He'll be matched up against a linebacker. Go pick on the linebackers with Jones. Like, why am I thinking of this? Like, LaFleur is, like, he's gotten to that point. Hey, I won 13 games in this league 3 years in a row. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm calling. Run my offense. Mm-hmm. Wait, but guess what? You don't have Davante Adams. Your best receiver can't catch a football. It doesn't matter if your offense looked good for the last 3 years. You got to – and this is, for me, just in general, you need to be playing to your roster. If you're a good NFL head coach, you can change your offense to fit your roster. Mm-hmm. You don't say, here's my system, run it. That's why guys are out of the league coaching every 5-3 years, because they say – do what I tell you to.
Exactly. Instead of adjusting.
Instead of adjusting. That's That's why Bill Belichick is a god.
That's why I like Josh McDaniels. I mean, Josh McDaniels has adjusted big time. I mean, they're riding Josh Jacobs. They're playing, if you're going to play too high, that's cool. We're just going to run the ball. And then we're going to run the ball until you bring the safety down. And the Texans, they actually brought the safety down. Lovie Smith played cover three all game to stop Josh Jacobs.
Get out. Right?
He's you know, he's played Tampa 2 since he was like, since he was born. So, yeah. Right.
And his so first words were Tampa 2.
Tampa 2, you know what I'm saying? He's just playing Tampa 2 since forever. So, they brought a safety down, man. And, you know, that opened up for Davante Adams. Davante Adams had one-on-ones all day. And then Carr was 21 to 27, had a rating of 116. YPA was like 11. He was just chopping them up. I mean, because he had basically had a mental break. They couldn't do any disguising. They had to stop Josh Jacobs. And so the teams are at a bind with the Raiders. I don't know how people are going to stop the Raiders at this point. I mean, we're at 27 points a game. They traded Devontae, man. We're at 27 points a game now. And you guys are struggling. See? You know?
Yeah, but see, this – with the Packers, I mean, we were the second most explosive offense in the NFL after beating Tampa Bay and being 2-1. And everything they did is gone. They're like, oh, we can do whatever we want. We just beat Tampa. We can do whatever we want. No, you can't. Run that offense through Jones and Dylan. Like, you should be able to run the West Coast offense with those two guys in the backfield. Bring back an old bring back the pro style runs. I want to see two backs lined up next to each other at 5 and 7 yard depths, or you can bring them all the way up to 4 yards behind the quarterback. I mean, you want to run shotgun? Fine. Put two right next to Aaron Rodgers. Go to the pistol, for crying out loud.
Mix it up. Do something.
Get him under center. Run some I form. Like, you don't have to actually run a power offense. You just got two of the best weapons on the team are in your backfield. Utilize them. Use them. Yeah. And I'm really upset that they aren't calling plays directly for Tonyan. He had 12 touchdowns and then tore his ACL. And now he's back and he's full strength. Why are they not utilizing him in the middle of the field? Play action. Play action them to death. There's no reason they can't run an offense similar to what Kansas City runs. Mm-hmm. They've got better weapons in the backfield to be able to for Rodgers to turn his back, and then the linebackers suck up, and you've got Tonyan between the safety and the linebacker. I should not be the one being creative like that to find your best weapons on the field.
Well, I mean, to be honest, did Matt LaFleur have to be creative with Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers? No, not really. Move Davante.
Yeah, but that around. Was, I mean, 80%. Of the offense was Aaron Rodgers to Devontae. Like, you got to get creative now so that you can get your best players the ball.
See, I'm telling you, man, a lot of NFL, we talk about coaching with NFL. Yeah, it is important with coaching, but yeah, you could be a good coach, but if you got Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, you look like a fantastic coach.
Well, here's the worst part of all of it. Honestly, do they need to change what they're doing? No. Does the offensive line need to finish their blocks the way that they're supposed to? Does three or four wide receivers need to actually hold on to a football? Like, that's the difference, unfortunately. Like, it's all been execution-based. I can't even put it on the floor. But you know who's going to try and put it on them? Josh Allen and that offense that they're playing this next week. Jesus.
I'm taking that spread, bro. I'm sorry. I'm taking it.
I know, 10.5. Dude, I think everybody.
I like Rodgers' speech after the game. He was like, "Well, nobody's gonna pick us. This is gonna be a great game for us because I feel like nobody's gonna pick us. We're gonna be. I don't know what the spread's gonna be. Everybody's expecting us to get killed. This is a great game for us.
It really is, dude. This is exactly what that is. Like, all the talking heads are gonna pick the Bills across the board. This is the one where the Packers come out. Like, we've seen this in the NFL forever. Oh, everybody picks the number one favorite, and here comes the underdog, and they win the game.
Exactly. Or the team that's like on like a losing streak is actually probably better than they actually are. I think that happens to a lot of these games. But you know, the Bills are a team. You don't take the Packers lightly. Let's just keep it real. I don't care what the record is.
I'm sorry. If we go to a man defense, Jair and Eric Stokes are just as fast as Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis and Isaiah McKenzie. Like, that defense can keep up. That's a fast defense. And we can get to Josh Allen with just four. And Quay Walker's a giant speed beast in the middle of the field who can just spy Josh Allen. So I'm a little excited about this game. I'm trying not to be, because as soon as I get excited about it, they're going to get just completely blown out.
So I'm
trying to just like secretly pretend that we're going to get blown out, so that when it goes my way, I can be excited about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to some other teams, I guess. I mean, we've been talking about let Chris get his Packers ran out.
I mean three in a row. I can't tell you the last time we lost three in a row. I do want to say this before we move on. I want to get your thoughts on it. So Rodgers went on the McAfee show and said about 20% of the time somebody's making a mistake. Mm-hmm. And he said maybe it's time for those people making mistakes to get benched and for other people to come in.
Yeah.
And there was some massive uproar. How dare Aaron Rodgers come out and say that publicly? Mm-hmm. And in LaFleur's press conference the next day, he actually backed Rodgers up.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of people out there that are pissed at Rodgers coming out and saying that. What do you think?
I think people are pissed at him because he's been losing. They've been losing. And his stats aren't like the sexiest, right? So they're like, oh, why aren't you showing any accountability for yourself or whatever, or showing anything? And I think people are upset about it. But I don't know. I feel like that, you know, when you win as much as Aaron Rodgers does, I mean, nobody cares. Just like, yeah, I don't know if you ever seen Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey's podcast, but mm-hmm. they had a podcast, right? And they're talking about Tom Brady yelling at his offensive lineman. And Jason Kelsey was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, Tom Brady can yell at me. So that's fine. Tom Brady can yell at me all he wants. He's won 6 Super Bowls, 7 Super Bowls, whatever. He can yell at me all he wants to. Right. But he said anybody else that yells at him, he's going to throw him in the trash can. He's like, you're a little tiny. You don't tackle. You don't do anything. I'm going to take you and throw you in the trash can like you're a little kid. Right. And I thought about that. Like, you know, NFL players aren't going to care when Aaron Rodgers calls them out. They're not. It's like Sammy Watkins backed him, too, because he's Aaron Rodgers. You know, mm-hmm. it's different when, if like Kyler Murray is on Pat McAfee show and he's calling out. Saying, you know, the guys aren't blocking as well as they used to be. You know, I'm not getting as much time. As the offensive mm-hmm. line is not doing as well. I get a lot of drops from the wide. You know, if Kyler Murray was saying that, yeah, it's, you know, nobody wants to play with Kyler anymore after that. But Aaron Rodgers has been in the league, but like forever, he's won all
18 years.
They've been, you know, he has the most respect. He has tons of respect from every single player. Every single player that is in that room respects him. And, you know, especially these days, the younger players, maybe like the Greg Jennings guys, you know, he was younger, but the younger players now, they all respect him, just how revered he is. Yeah, they don't care, man. They're all going to step it up. You know they are.
Dude, I need 100%. It's time. Like, they should have stepped it up after they lost to the damn Giants.
I know, but like –
they should have stepped it up and took it to the Jets, and then they should have stepped it up and took it to the Commanders. Like, come on.
I mean, that's what Rodgers did. I mean, that's why he went on a Pat. He didn't do it at a press conference. He went on the Pat McAfee show, where everybody watches it. There's tons of viewers. There's millions and millions of viewers. Like 50,000 people watch press conferences. And I checked the Raiders numbers. It's like 30,000 for a YouTube for watching like press conferences and stuff like that. Right. So mm-hmm. So for him to go on that platform where there's millions of viewers and there's gonna be millions of views on Twitter and it's gonna be clipped and clipped and clipped. It was on purpose, for sure.
Absolutely.
It was strategic. That was not something he basically told guys that if you guys don't play better, I'm going to make sure you get benched. Because I'm not getting benched. So I don't know what I just want to let you guys know. I'm not getting benched. I can throw 3 interceptions every single week. And I don't know if I'm going to get benched. They might start to think about it by week 17. But they're not going
right.
to.
Right.
I'm not getting benched. So make a decision.
That's an absolute speaking fact, sir.
Benched, Chris is a great transition. Speaking of getting benched, Matt Ryan was benched, which was caught me off guard a little bit. Caught me off guard, Matt Ryan.
Dude, it caught me off guard big time.
So Matt Ryan was benched for Sam Ehlinger. Ellinger, if I'm saying that right, he's
Sam Ehlinger.
Ehlinger, former Texas.
Texas.
You know, he's revered for saying he had he's on the when they beat Baylor, and he's like, Texas, we're back. You know, and then they started losing again.
Yep.
So I mean,
but you know what? Struggling. So I got to say this with Sam, he was the first Texas like prospect, like at the quarterback position in years. And you know what he did? Mm-hmm. He put him back on the map.
Yeah.
Do you know what Texas and their quarterback situation is this year, next year, the year after that, how they did with recruiting quarterbacks?
Yeah.
The number one, who they got starting right now.
20 years.
The next class, they got the number two quarterback in the class, and then they got little future Hall of Famer already. Everybody's crowning him the Manning. They got the next Manning coming.
He's going in there. Manning's going.
He's going to Texas. He committed to Texas. They got one, two, and then one of the respected recruiting classes at the quarterback position, and I think they got 4 and 6 in there too.
So who's the backup to Quinn Ewers? Because the ASU needs to offer him like $15 million in NIL deals.
Like, who's that guy? Dude, I know. I don't know. Nobody knows his name because all they know is that the little Manning's coming.
$15 million NIL deals. Come on, ASU. You know you've been making some money. Let's get it going. Let's go get a quarterback. $15 million. So Matt Ryan. I mean, his numbers are pretty ugly. I'm not gonna lie. He's got what?
They were bad, Marcus. That's a bad six. Where were we? Six games in? Seven games in?
He's got 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He leads the league in interceptions.
9-9.
Woo. He's got like 11 fumbles, though.
That's bad. Bad. Yeah, but you know what? He beat the Chiefs. That's what's the craziest thing about it all.
I know. He beat the Chiefs. It was just crazy. I mean, they are 3-3, man. They're like out of first place. But the thing is about this benching, because they lost the Titans. You know, Derrick Henry had his usual thing. Ryan Tannehill didn't have to do anything, and you know the Titans just keep winning, and it's basically Derrick Henry show. So with Matt Ryan, what's interesting is that this wasn't a Frank Reich, Chris Ballard decision. Did you know this, Chris? This was Jim Irsay.
I did not know that.
Jim Irsay came from the owner's box, and he told Frank Reich and Chris Ballard that they're playing Sam. So that's why it's totally different for me. Because to me, as you're a coach, right, and you have the owner step in like that, what do you even tell Matt Ryan? Do you tell him, like, that's not – like, do you, like, try to throw him under the bus? Like, Matt, this is not my decision. Like, I would still go with you, what do you do? Like that's
so in that situation with it being Jim Irsay, I guarantee you Irsay went and had a conversation with Matt Ryan
too. Huh? You think so?
I guarantee you. That's the kind of man that Jim Irsay is in all and everything told about Jim Irsay and in the world of rumors and, just who his personality is, what type of guy he is. Like, everything says that he went and spoke to Matt Ryan, and they had a conversation.
All right. I guess that would make more sense.
I don't have any sources like to tell me that happened or not, but that's where my mind goes. My mind says after the benching, obviously Reich's got to say something to him, but Irsay came and laid it out for him.
Probably. That would make sense. It's just weird, to see an owner. I mean, they're 3-3, and they're in last place. I mean, see an owner kind of step in. I mean, he's the one who wanted to trade Carson Wentz, but you never know how Carson Wentz would have played in the second year of this offense. He wasn't terrible. You know what I mean? Maybe he wasn't enough for them to make the playoffs or whatever. They started off slow, but he wasn't terrible. And that was Jim Irsay. He wanted Wentz gone. He didn't want Wentz here anymore. He got Wentz shipped out of here. And then, who knows how much Irsay had with Matt Ryan, bringing Matt Ryan in. And then, sometimes it's just owners are too involved. Like, you guys aren't football people. aren't like a GM. I know you want to see exciting players. You see all these guys running around, so you want to get you an athletic guy who can move, and you think he's going to help the offensive line. For some reason, that people think that, you know, offensive line is helped by guys who can move, which I think it's actually made worse. But whatever,
They hate it. They absolutely hate it. They don't.
You never see offensive linemen say that. Offensive linemen never say that. You never see offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. We got a video. If you go to our Twitter. And you're following our Twitter.
No, that's the video. That's what I'm saying. They never say you can move. Don't move. Stay in the pocket right there where you're supposed to in your spot. You can step up, maybe even slide. But, man,
Step and slide. Don't go spinning in circles, running outside of me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to lose you. And
then like, I've got him right here. He's not going anywhere. He's not coming to get you. So don't run outside of me where he can get you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, being able to move, as people always quote, like Mahomes and Josh Allen. Like, yeah, but those guys move out of necessity. Like, it's like a last minute thing. When Mahomes was scrambling whenever he wanted to, the NFL was like, okay, we're just going to play too high. And then he had to figure it out. And, you know, is Sam Ellinger, is he going to be like moving just to move, or is he going to be moving because he's scared? And the game's too fast for him. Because this is the preseason.
No, we're going to find out real fast. We're going
to find out real fast. The game's going to be really fast. The game's still too fast for Zach Wilson. It's going to be perfectly speed for Sam. The game's still too fast for Zach Wilson's played a whole season as a starter. The game's still too fast for him. And we're talking about we're going to put Sam in. I mean, maybe. I don't know. You know. I think the midseason, you're 3-3. You know, you're one game out of the division. It's not like the division's like out of nowhere. I mean, all you just win a couple more games, maybe the Titans lose one, you're back in first place. That's why I don't get it. Like, I don't get it from that aspect. Like, how does the locker room feel? Does the locker room feel like they're trying to win? I don't know. It's just
it's more than just changing a quarterback. We're talking about that element of offensive linemen getting used to where a quarterback's going to be. That's a runner. I mean, they got to get used to where he's going to be as a passer, as somebody that's handing the ball off, like making sure his feet get out of the way so that when you're taking your steps as a lineman, you're not stepping on your quarterback's feet and he's going straight down or a fumble or something like that. There's a lot that goes into making a change at the quarterback position almost at the halfway point of the season. Like, you're changing the complete feel of your offense. He's got to get in rhythm with the wide receivers. He's got to get in rhythm with the running back. Like, there is so much that changes when you put a new guy under center. It's a big ask.
That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at his stats, man. His stats are not even that. Like, I mean, there's some games where he hasn't, like the Jacksonville game, second week two, where he threw three interceptions. That was terrible. I mean, he didn't play very well against Tennessee, but the Colts never play well against Tennessee ever since Frank Reich's been there. But I mean, he threw three touchdowns against Jacksonville, had a 107.6 passer rating. You know, the last time they played Tennessee, he threw 356 yards and two touchdowns. He threw two touchdowns against Kansas City. Like, how bad really is it? You know what I mean? Is it that bad? that's kind of like is it average? Yes. It's average football, but it's not like god awful football. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like causing you to lose games. I guess that's kind of why I'm looking at it, but maybe
it's an interest. It's a very interesting move. Very interesting move. But to stay on the benching, Marcus, there was another guy that got benched this week too.
Yes, well, he did. Mac Jones.
Not if you're Bill Belichick. He spun it the best way possible. It was planned. It was planned. At some point, Billy was getting it. At some point, Zappy was going in. It was a plan. We do it. We were going to do it all along.
And play the whole game? And after the first interception? Yeah, we waited until Mac was going to throw an interception, and then we pulled him. We had that plan the whole time. We knew he was going to throw a pick, so it was pre-planned.
Brutal.
Yeah, Mac Jones' numbers suck, though. See, that's the difference between him and Matt Ryan. You know, I was looking at Mac Jones' numbers, and I got nothing nice to say. I have nothing nice to say. About I'll try to come up with a something positive here. And there's just nothing positive to say about him. His YPA is high, I guess, but he has 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions and 4 starts. I mean, if anybody's gonna get benched, those are benchable numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know he has Matt Patricia calling plays, and I can't help. But yeah, he's definitely been a huge disappointment this year. You know, you can say all the things you say about all the quarterbacks early, and I'm like, I throw it to you. Da, 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 da. But I don't know. I think Nelson Aguilar is not that terrible. You know what I mean? He's not awful. Kendrick Bourne's not awful. You know, these guys are like the worst wide receivers in the world. You know, not like you're throwing to like some of these other. So you don't have the Bears wide receivers, right?
And no, you don't. So
exactly, you don't have the Bears wide receivers. You got Hunter Henry as your tight end, right? Your offensive line's good. It's not, you know. And not like they changed the offense. You have a different play caller. That's fine. But it's the same offense.
Yep.
So I don't know what Matt's problem is. You know, that's kind of different. I mean, you could say Matt Patricia, but Bailey Zappe did play better the previous 2 weeks, but then he was terrible against the Bears. So, you know, Mac's going to start this week too because Belichick keeps saying that he's ready to play, which means he's starting. So. You gotta know the Belichick terms. Yeah, so as he starts this week, he'll be ready to play. So he's the starter. Okay.
I love that they were hitting him with hypotheticals. Well, so what if Mac and his ankle end up being good to go, are you gonna end up starting him over Zappe? And he goes, well, now you're just talking in hypotheticals. I can't talk in hypotheticals.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, man. I just Mac Jones. He's definitely struggling, though, man. Definitely struggling. I mean, all the second-year quarterbacks are kind of struggling, except for like Lawrence.
Dude, everybody's struggling in the NFL this year. There's only like 4 or 5 guys that are playing at a higher that you can say that are playing at the bar
consistently.
And maybe
like every week,
and maybe 3 of them are playing over the bar. Like, you had Lamar over the bar for the first 3 games of the season, and then 3 games in a row, he's below the bar. So, man's at the bar. He's at the bar. Now, this week, he's going into Tampa, and they don't have their entire secondary's out. They ruled the entire secondary out for that game.
I mean even Justin Herbert struggling? Justin Herbert? He does have 203 passes completed.
203 already?
Yeah. Yeah, 308 passing attempts already.
Oh my God. The ball
300 times in 7 games. What is that like?
That's literally
50 a game. That's literally 50 a game. If you think about it, because they played 7 games. Yeah. 5 times 6 is
I thought
30.
I thought Buffalo didn't have a running game.
No. Josh Allen, he's at 239. I mean, they're passing a lot, but. Man, 308. And then, of course, he has 2,000 passing yards. Of course you do. Of course. Of course. His YPA is like 6.5 right now, bro. He's just – they have really no offense right now. They just throw to Austin Eckler.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler, if you have Austin Eckler in fantasy, we had a couple jokes about Austin Eckler a couple weeks ago about you might have regretted taking him one. Right now, you do not regret it because even if he gets 40 yards rushing – he's getting 14 catches and 95 yards, so you're okay. So
you're not feeling the best if you're in a non-PPR league, but if you're in a PPR league, it was a great move. It was a great decision.
Great decision. I didn't know if there's any non-PPR leagues anymore. Is people still playing?
No. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
I'm in 4 leagues. One. I got one that's a non-PPR.
Oh, interesting.
It sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. Like.
All my team's awful. My team is awful. And I got Cooper Kupp.
You know? Yeah, because you have to go fully based on yards. I don't think Kupp's getting a lot of yards right now. But, yeah, man, it's just – yeah. Yeah, it's just – it's not looking good for quarterbacks right now. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. That's it. Or Geno Smith. Or Daniel Jones. We'll get to them a little later. But, you know, let's talk about some of the Let's talk about some other quarterbacks here. We got the old geezers. We're going to talk about Rodgers. But we got to talk about Brady. Brady is
I have not seen him. I have not seen him out of sorts like this. I think I'm curious if at this point it's his emotions getting the best of him.
It has to be, bro. He has.
Because his fundamentals in the second half of that Panthers game, like they show this replay of this throw that he attempts to make inside the red zone, and it's like 5 to 10 yards short of the wide receiver. And I've never seen him, like, he was almost square to the line of scrimmage trying to throw that ball. Like, I've never seen him so indecisive. I've never seen him so erratic with his feet. It's like that first ball that he threw to Mike Evans, like, changed his entire mindset, and he was lost almost.
Yeah, man, he just not look the same. I mean, he doesn't look the same since week one. I mean, week one they weren't that impressive when they beat the Cowboys. They haven't really been putting up a lot of points. Obviously, they really miss Bruce Arians. Obviously, they can't run the ball.
That offensive line is an absolute mess right now. Still,
it's a big problem because I mean, he doesn't have the Alex Capel, he doesn't have the Jensen, he doesn't have the Ali Marpet to
Isn't Donovan Smith out too still?
Yeah. This whole offensive line's out. So, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the help that he needs from the offensive line perspective, especially, you know, what kind of quarterback he is and how old he is.
And they don't have a running game to support him either.
Bro, I mean, yeah, I think I saw something. They have the lowest, like, top five lowest yards per carry in rushing the football all time. Like, right now, 3 point yards. So, he's getting no help. But yeah, it looks really bad, and he looks like he should have stayed retired, man. You could have went out big, bro, with that Jalen Ramsey touchdown. You could have went out big. But you had to play at 45, right? And you end up costing yourself your marriage and your last touchdown pass. And you know, with the NFC, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. So, who's first place?
That division's bad. That division's real bad. I think it's is it them?
That's what I'm saying. Who's in for?
Dang, Marcus. Who is in first place?
Who's in first place in the NFC South?
It's them. 3-4. Good.
Bro.
They lead the division. They're tied with the Falcons at 3-4.
That's what I'm saying. He's still gonna make the playoffs.
Get out.
And then that's going to happen. He's going to make the playoffs, and they're going to end up playing like the Giants or something.
You know what's funny? So
he's going to go to Philly.
The NFC East has the top three records, top three out of four records in the NFC. And two of them are going to be a 4-5 seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're going to be two teams in front of them. No, three. They're going to be 5 and 6 seed. Two seeds, 2, 3, and 4 are still up for grabs.
Yeah, because unless the Vikings pull away, man. They got that 3-game lead.
I have zero faith in the Minnesota Vikings. Zero.
They are 3-0. They got the tiebreakers, man. They're 3-0 in the division.
That's fine, man. They got to go to Buffalo. They got the Cowboys coming to them. They got to play the Giants and the Jets, who are both playing very well. They still got to go to Lambeau. They have all away games left for their division games. They're done playing the division at home. Like, those are the games that they have to win. It's the road ones that they got. And the Vikings are the worst team in the NFL on the road always. How many times? They got 1, 2, 3. How many road games they got left? Where is this? Where am I looking? Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They got 5 road games. They could lose all 5 of those. They could lose all 5 of their road games.
You think they're gonna lose all five road games? Because that's a big prediction.
They could. They're one of the worst road teams in the NFL statistically.
Yeah, that is true. And they've only played one AFC team, which I think is super interesting. They're 4-1 in conference, and they beat the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson. That's it.
Yeah, so, with their third string quarterback. Yeah,
So they still got to play the Bills.
Still got to play the Jets. Still got to play the Patriots. You don't think Bill Belichick is going to send Kirk Cousins' mind out the window?
So basically, they beat the Packers, the Bears, and the
Lions. All of those games at home. I think one of them was on the road.
Oh, well, they beat New Orleans.
Yeah, with Andy Dalton.
So the only good team they played was the Eagles, and they lost 24-7. Okay, cool. All right.
Let's see. I'm telling you, their meltdown's coming.
Hey, man, you might be right there, Chris. You might be right. But, the Bucs still win the division, man. You know? Unless Marcus Mariota can put it together.
I'll tell you what he can't do. He doesn't know how to throw to his tight end.
Oh, Kyle Pitts, yeah.
How do you not get that guy the ball?
Because he can't throw. We've been saying that for years, Chris. He can't throw.
I know. And he only operates
in the middle of the field. He was 13-14. And then some Raiders fan is in my car, like, sent it to me. And I didn't respond because I was really about to say, dog, he threw 14 passes. That's not sustainable. And is Tim Tebow, is that what you want? We can draft Tim Tebow, man. I can go pick him up.
You know, he's dying for another chance.
Yeah, exactly. You dying for another chance. Isn't he like 40 now, though? He's like 40 something at this point.
Don't you do that. Okay, hold on. He is not 40 because we are not 40. All right, so let's pump the brakes. Don't make me older than I already am.
So true.
Don't make me older than I already am.
All right, so now we can get to
next
the big matchup of the week. The big matchup of the week is Geno Smith versus Daniel Jones, which you all had at the beginning of the year. We all had the matchup week 8. All circled. Everybody had it circled. We all had it circled. Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, you know, the battle.
The only two teams playing against each other with winning records.
The battle of the you know, the underestimated. Let's say that. The battle of the underestimated quarterbacks.
The battle of the overachievers is what you mean to say.
The overachievers. What are you talking about, man? Daniel Jones is playing good football. Okay, Chris, you just have to embrace it. You know, you have to embrace the good football.
I'm not embracing anything.
You know,
Saquon Barkley goes down, they're screwed. They'll lose it out. They just
probably.
Breaking news before we even started recording. Kadarius Toney, they traded their best receiver, who doesn't even play, to the Kansas City Chiefs. Way to give Patrick Mahomes more weapons.
I know. It's ridiculous. But, you know, Daniel Jones is using his legs, Chris. He's using his legs. He's got 343 yards. You know, he might be on pace. He might hit 1,000. He might hit 1,000, Chris. He might hit 1,000. He might have a 900-yard rusher. 3,900 yards. Daniel Jones, he's moving the ball. 5.9 yards per carry. You know, the fumbles is down. He has 2 fumbles all year. The fumbles are down.
Well, that's a big deal there. I will commend him for reducing his turnovers.
Yeah, and then 3 touchdowns on the ground. He's basically 2019 Josh Allen, you know, on the Atkins diet. So it's not a full Josh Allen yet.
That is a phenomenal comparison.
He's literally, it's 2019 Buffalo Bills, Brian DeBall with Josh Allen on the Atkins diet. And that's basically what you got here. Because, I mean, he's not passing.
No, he's not.
He's either scrambling, handing the ball off, or he's keeping it. It's basically what he's doing. And it's working. And they're playing good defense on the other side.
Holy crap, Marcus.
They're literally the 2019 Bills right now.
It's the 2019 Bills. Get out of here.
Literally. They literally
are. That just blew my mind.
That's exactly what they are. 2019 Buffalo Bills. Brian DeBall's like, okay, you know, I'm gonna take it back.
What I did in Buffalo, that's what we're gonna do here in New York.
Yeah, Yeah, man.
Let me take it back a few years.
But, I mean, that goes back to what you're talking about, Matt LaFleur, man. He looked at Daniel Jones. He's like, okay, the kid can run, though. The kid can move.
He did, man. He picked up so many third downs with his legs.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, he's basically been free to run. So he's running like crazy. Yeah, like a bunch against the Jaguars, too. Just running for first downs when there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Not trying to stay in the pocket too long. So, I mean, he's been basically have that, you know, kind of, I guess, the wheels taken off.
Is Saquon open? No? All right, I got to go.
Yeah.
See you.
Let it go.
I'm out of here.
You know? So, it's
he's getting some tips from Tyrod Taylor on how to move around out there.
Yeah, yeah. He's only averaging 174 yards passing per game.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, he only has 1,200 yards passing through seven games. So
that's awful.
Yeah.
So basically, that's absolutely awful.
He is literally 2019 Josh Allen right now. That's literally what he is. 343 yards rushing, right? That's I don't even know where he ranks rushing the football. You know, he probably ranks higher than a lot of running backs right now.
I can guarantee you he does. I'm going to look it up.
So it's interesting to watch how he's playing, but you know, eventually, I mean, they're gonna have to throw. So yeah, another, it's gonna happen. You know, these teams that do these little running things and they run the ball all over somebody. That's what I'm saying. This is all setting up for Tom Brady to play in the NFC Championship game, which I don't like because we're all gonna write off Tom, right? And he's gonna sneak in at 9-8. Right, and he's gonna like if New York wins the division, which they might, because I feel like they could beat Philly because I think they can play defense and they basically play the same game they do. They play the same game. I know Philly has more playmakers, but they play the same game.
Yeah. Oh, he's not. He's right. Not even close. He's not even close to the top 10.
No.
No, but you know who is?
Who?
Lamar Jackson.
Of course he is. So,
Lamar Jackson got 510 rushing yards. He's 50 NFL in rushing.
He just carries. He just carries that whole damn team by himself.
He does.
It's hilarious.
He does. That's why he was my MVP, man. I need him to get back on track this week against Tampa.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like this is why I feel like this whole season is being set up for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to play in the NFC Championship game, and everybody be mad about it. And I feel like this whole season is being set up for that. We're seeing Aaron Rodgers kind of fall off a little bit. Tom Brady's falling off. We're seeing these young quarterbacks in the NFC East get some praise. They're talking about paying Daniel Jones. You know, how much is Daniel Jones going to get in the market? Is he getting the transition tag? All this stuff is just set up for Tom Brady to go into New York, underdog, and just beat them.
And, well, we got to get back. I mean, we got to get back to – so the reason why we're having this conversation, though.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones ain't playing Tom Brady this week. He's playing Geno Smith.
He's playing Geno Smith, who Geno actually is balling. Yeah, Geno has the numbers. Geno's is –
Geno's above par.
He's 73% completion percentage.
Fantastic.
244 yards per game. 8 YPA, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I think he's like throwing downfield. His A dot is like 10, so it's not like he's dinking and dunking or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, he's having what you would call a breakout year, you know. But
I have a butt
here. Mm-hmm. I have a butt. As good as Geno's playing, because he does, he looks comfortable back there. I watch him. He does look like he knows the offense. He knows where to go. He knows where to throw the football. He knows what reads to go to. He knows where to release the ball. My thing is he's just throwing into traffic a lot. He's throwing into traffic a lot. Like he's taking a lot of chances. Like, you know, a lot of times, like just a throw against the Saints that I don't know if you saw that throw, Chris. I mean, it was all over Twitter. Everybody was like, oh, my God, look at this throw. But there's like 4 Saints around there. And, yeah, he got it in there. It was a perfect throw. There's 4 Saints players around there. It's like a perfect throw right to Tyler Lockett. He fits it in there. But I'm just thinking, like, man, what if you missed? You know? What if you start missing, Gino? What if you start missing? What happens? What happens if you miss?
Because DK, it doesn't look like DK is going to play this week.
Yeah. And DK and Lockett have 468 yards. They both have over 400 yards receiving. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they're both on pace for 1,000. So, Geno has the weapons. You know, that's why I have no idea what Russell Wilson was thinking. I still don't understand what he was thinking. But, you know, Geno Smith has the weapons, right? He has the running game. He has everything behind him. I mean, he has a pretty good defense, too. He has everything behind him to succeed. My thing is, it's like he just takes so many chances. We're talking about him throwing downfield so much. I mean, I'm watching the tape, man. This dude is just throwing into traffic. He's throwing into, you know, I don't know. I guess it's the confidence. Maybe Pete Carroll's giving him confidence or something. Maybe he's pushing confidence on him.
He's got confidence. He's got enough confidence on his own, too.
I know. He's ripping the ball.
Dude is feeling good about himself.
Well, I'm just saying, I just feel like there's a 4-interception game coming.
This is one of those defense because the Giants are on the other end of the spectrum. They've only got like one interception the entire year so far. Yeah. So here this week could be very well balancing balancing everything out.
He looks good though. I'm not gonna say he's looking. He looks a lot better than I expected.
This is the best he's ever played in his entire career.
100%, and it's probably the best team he's played on too. I mean, the best weapons he's played with.
Sure.
I mean, the offensive line is incredible too.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's interesting. Huh?
We've been dogging these guys for ages for how bad they were. You know what it makes me think more? Like, Russell Wilson is just that awful of a human being.
He really is, man. Especially because, you know, I always talk about Russell Wilson, man. He played with Dwayne Brown for how many years? Like six? How long was Dwayne Brown?
I mean, it was at least three, bare minimum three. One of the best tackles.
He was there for a long time, bro. And I don't think he made a Pro Bowl with Russell Wilson, even when he was playing well, because, you know, he's Russell, the off Seahawks line sucks, you know? And so
they didn't suck. They didn't want to block for him. They wanted him. They were trying to get him out of there.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Pete Carroll did draft Charlie Cross in the first round. He's playing really well.
That's true.
And then he drafted Abraham Lucas in the second round from Washington State, who's playing really well too. So he basically got Geno Smith two great tackles. Then they drafted Damian Lewis from LSU, I think a year or two ago, who was
started showing up.
Yeah, he was the guard on Joe Burrow's team on the national championship team. So
he quietly put an offensive line together.
Then
he
got Gabe Jackson from the Raiders.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I'm telling you, I guess the Chargers, man. I mean, they're shutting down Mac. He had all the time in the world. It's like he's just going through his reads. This is Geno back there just making sandwiches. He's so comfortable. And then when they get pressure on him, you can see him get a little bit uncomfortable. But he's just so comfortable back there. So he's in a really good situation, man, to be honest. And
I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm not saying that, you know, some guys don't make the best of it. And he is. He is making the best of it. He's playing really well. It's just, you know, there's a mistake coming. I don't know when it's going to happen. I just hope everybody doesn't turn on him when that game comes. But they might. They might turn on him real quick. I'm going to turn it real fast. As soon as that through. Because I'm telling Chris, so many tight windows. And, like, there's a couple plays were almost picked. And then he threw a pick because he threw into a tight window. And the ball was knocked up in the air. And it got picked. So,
well, I mean, we've spent weeks and almost years talking about the eventual Mahomes interception brigade. And he's, like, one of the best quarterbacks out there.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait years for it to happen to Geno.
It's gonna happen. He's too many tight windows. I know it looks exciting when he's hitting them. It's like, oh my god, how do you fit that in? But every time, even when I do like my car breakdowns, people ask me like, why didn't the car fit into the window? Or why aren't you getting on him? Because my thought process with a lot of tight window throws is, what if he misses? With a tight window throw, you have to hit it. Because if it's a little this way, if it's a little too far this way, if it's a little
bye-bye.
You know what I mean? That's what a tight window throw, man. It has to be perfect. So, you know, he's hitting them right now, but it'll be interesting. So who are you taking with this one, Chris? I mean, it's basically kind of flats, -3.
It's in Seattle, isn't it?
Yeah.
I still hate Seattle with a fiery passion, even though Russ is gone. I don't know how you pick against Seattle right now.
Yeah, it's
even with DK going out.
I'm going to see.
I want to pick the Giants because I have Saquon on one or two of my fantasy teams. But here's the thing in the NFL. A guy can run for 200 yards, have an amazing game, and they'll still lose. If a guy throws for 400 yards, his team's typically going to win the game.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pick against Seattle at home. I can't do it.
I can't do that. I can't take Seattle. Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle on that one, even though, you know, I like the Giants. I think they're built for the road, but
that defense is playing really good football. Mm-hmm. Their guys are starting to get healthy on the defensive side too. And it's, yeah. You play good defense and you got a strong running game. You're going to be in every single game.
Seattle's not the greatest on defense either. So we'll see how that goes. So we didn't pick the Ravens and Bucks. Who you got? Ravens, Bucks.
Because of the injuries, I'm picking Baltimore. But I could very seriously see a Tom Brady comeback in the fourth quarter being a thing because the Ravens love to blow the game in the fourth quarter. So with all the injuries, I'm giving Lamar the advantage, but I'm not going to rule out Tom, especially after the way that game went last week. I think the Buccaneers are going to have a mindset. What's the number? I think that's like three minus one and a half. Minus two
right now. Mm-hmm.
Who's the favorite? Tampa?
Tampa, yeah. Tampa, minus two.
I'll take Ravens in the 2 points.
Oh, okay.
Because Tampa could win by like a last second field goal.
See, things that's like the only good game this week, man.
Hey, come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Packers is Sunday
yes.
night. That's gonna
yes,
be,
it is a
I
good game.
Gonna be, I think the Packers cover. It's minus 10 and a half, right?
It's minus 11 and a half now.
Oh, it's moving the other way.
It's 11 and a half.
Dude, I'm definitely taking the points. Taking the points. I'm not saying they're going to win. I think it's setting up. This is setting up to be one of those games where the Packers pull it off.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's
this
back
is
on
setting
the
up to be one
screen.
Of those games.
He doesn't need Adams anymore. Yeah.
The defense shows up because this is the biggest matchup of the season for him so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very talented defense.
Can't you stop Josh Allen though?
Quay Walker's going to spy on him. He's big enough to take him on one on one. He's fast enough to keep up with him. Walker spies him, and the secondary is fast. The Packers secondary is fast. I think this is a prove it game for that defense. I would say take the under as well.
You're saying take the under.
Take the under.
Now Josh Allen's balling, man. I was looking at his stats the other day. I didn't even realize how much he was balling.
He's killing it.
I didn't realize it. I know he's
killing it.
We'll do an adjusted net yards per attempt next week after week eight. But, man, it's just basically him and Mahomes for MVP right now. It's just a battle. Mahomes versus Allen. Who finishes? And then they just gave Mahomes Kadarius Toney.
I need Lamar. I know. They just gave him Kadarius
Toney. They just gave him a check down guy. That's what bothered me the most about it. Is that people are acting like, oh, what is Tony going to do? I see a lot of Raiders fans are like, what is Tony? Tony didn't put up a yard. He's the check down guy. They're gonna throw a screen to him. And I don't know if you've ever seen Kadarius Tony on tape, bro. Oh, my God. He's
hard. I remember the Senior Bowl. And I wasn't even there. You were there. You got to see him in person. You got to see what he did in person.
Dog, like that's what I'm saying. Like they're going to throw a little swing route to him. And he's going to make four guys miss and get like 14.
This is exactly why they drafted Sky Moore.
Exactly. But
and now they're going to replace Sky Moore with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, or Mecole Hardman, who's not cutting it.
Mecole Hardman's cutting it. He had three touchdowns last week.
Did he?
He had two rushing and one receiving.
I guess Andy didn't like it. It wasn't good enough for him. He was like, you know what?
I need another guy that can do the same exact thing.
But better.
They're gonna be keying Mecole this week. So Let's bring in a new guy. We'll do the same stuff, but we'll just flip the field.
Yeah. 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 They're on bye this week, huh? They're on bye. They're on bye. So, yeah. And he's in the lab cooking right now. That's basically what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's lost after a bye, like, ever. But he's in the lab just cooking everything for Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
That was very disappointing when I saw this morning. I was like, come on, man. But, I mean, we do have a battle for I mean, if the Bucks lose and the Falcons win, man. Or let's, you know what's even crazier? I got a crazier one for you. If the Bucks lose and the Panthers beat the Falcons, the Panthers are in first place.
PJ Walker.
Who I really like this preseason. I watched some of preseason this year. Oh, man, he was phenomenal. I was like, he should be the starter.
They brought Sam Darnold back from the IR, and not a single reporter is asking when he's going to start playing.
PJ's not bad, bro. I literally watched him in the preseason. I was impressed. And I was like, wow, this dude, he's got a good arm. And then, of course, what happens is a lot of these quarterbacks – is they go play in these small leagues, like he did. He went to the XFL. He's like XFL MVP.
MVP, yep.
And he comes in the league, and the game's slower for him. I mean, maybe we should do development leagues, guys. I think Zach Wilson needs to go play the XFL for a little bit.
Zach Wilson. They can't get NFL Europe back up and running fast enough for guys like Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, get him a little XFL work this summer, in the spring. You know, maybe they should do that. Maybe NFL player, they need to do more spring ball. You know, get Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
We have like a farm team in the XFL. Mm-hmm. Get Zach Wilson as a starter, man. He might get hurt. I don't know behind the offensive line, but that, hey, he's got to play. He's got to get better.
That's for sure.
He's got to play. Because I have no idea how the hell they're 5-2. Zach Wilson is. I know Chris Sims is like making all types of excuses for him, but I know you got to protect your draft grade.
Dude, Joe Flacco was the reason they started off hot. Yeah, exactly. And Breece Hall running around like crazy was the reason why they were successful. Now they traded for James Robinson to hopefully fill that role, but they're in trouble because they were a running team. They averaged like 120, 150 yards a game on the ground. I know they're in trouble with Hall going down.
And Garrett Wilson's probably – he had like 300 yards the first with Flacco and has 14 yards with Zach Wilson.
Dude, I'm telling you, they're in a lot of trouble now with Hall going out to the ACL injury. And Seattle's lucky as hell that DK didn't tear his ACL also.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, Zach Wilson with his one touchdown, two interceptions, definitely balling. Balling out of his mind. Balling out of his mind.
This win against the Packers, I think, was zero touchdown passes and 99 yards.
I mean, they won last week 16-9.
Yeah, because Hall was running like crazy.
Oh, but then they got hurt, right?
He tore his ACL. He's done for the year.
Good Lord. Yeah, he had four carries of 72 yards and tore his ACL, man. Oh, my God. They're about to win.
Dude, I'm telling you, the Jets season is about to just implode.
Yeah.
I do have a bone to pick with NFL scheduling. Why did we get so many Russell Wilson games? Why did we have to watch so many bad games? Like, Thursday night's been awful. This is the first Thursday night game that's actually somebody's excited for this season. Mm-hmm. Sunday night football has been the best one, but it's been okay. And then Monday night football has been awful. Awful.
I would say it's because the NFL really overhyped the quarterbacks all year, man. I mean, we dealt with that overhype offseason of Justin Herbert's going to win the elite MVP. The AFC West is the best quarterbacks in all football, so we're going to put them on prime time all the time. We're going to put the Broncos on prime time all the time. And then, the Sunday night ones, I'm 100% sure with that one. I don't know why we're watching the Steelers without Big Ben. Like, I don't know. Who decided that one? The Steelers versus the Dolphins? Who decided that one?
I hate watching Tua play quarterback. I really hate watching him play quarterback. It hurts my soul. He should have had four interceptions against the Steelers. They dropped them all. And then Kenny Pickett throwing the ball at the end instead of running for 15 yards. Since when has he been afraid to run the ball? The Steelers should have won that game. They blew it. They blew it.
They blew that game big time, too. And then, let's say, last week they could have had the Chiefs versus the Niners. I mean, that would have been a better game to watch.
That would have been a way better game.
The Dolphins versus Steelers. Like, who made that? Like, Big Ben's gone.
I don't get it.
It was Kenny Pickett, maybe? Out of
Kenny Pickett and Tua. Woo!
I don't think Pickett looks that bad. He every bad pass he throws gets picked off. So he throws like three bad passes a game. They're all picked. I just feel bad for him because he doesn't look that bad. But then he throws one bad pass and it's just perfectly intercepted.
He threw a great ball to the tight end up the seam against the cover two. It was fantastic. Tua can't make that throw to save his life.
I know, because it's hilarious. Because look at Pickett. Pickett had a 72% completion percentage last week. And he threw three receptions. So
ridiculous.
Three of his nine incompletions were picked off.
Tua can't throw the ball downfield. He just can't. He misses these guys so badly. And if there's any type of close coverage, it's going to get intercepted or at least knocked down. He's just not the guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. But any other thoughts, Chris? Can we get out of here?
No, that was my thought, just being mad about the primetime games that we're getting.
Yeah.
Some bad football this year, Marcus. A lot of bad football.
There's a lot of bad football.
The fundamentals are leaving the sport.
That's why I think the Raiders can still make the playoffs. They still got a shot. They still got a shot in this. I mean, I really wish they're in the NFC. I really wish they would have moved to the NFC West like 3 years ago. I think it would have been awesome this year. For the Raiders, but you know, it's not looking that way. We're in the AFC where like everybody's 4-3. Everybody wants to be halfway decent. Somebody's gonna fall off eventually. But
well, you got two guys that are not playing well at the quarterback position to go against with Herbert. Well, okay, Herbert's not playing awful, but he's checked down Charlie over there, and then you got Russell. You get to play him one more time this year. So
I know. I got before we get out of here, I got to bring up this Herbert stuff because I know Emmanuel Ocho. He's been like a super Herbert hater. He's like one of the biggest Herbert haters. He doesn't do it very well. He doesn't do it as good as I do, but he's actually a big Herbert hater, right? And he tried to do like a film breakdown to kind of like back up his hate of Herbert because he did like an overrated Herbert. He said he was over praised, but now he's trying to say he's overrated, right? Mm-hmm. He did a film breakdown on Twitter and he tried to say that Justin Herbert's too aggressive, okay? He tried to say that Justin Herbert doesn't take what the defense gives him. Exactly, Chris, right? Just hilarious. But it was just the reaction from all the Herbert fanboys basically admitting that Justin Herbert's conservative. It made my day. It really did. I really feel like Emmanuel Ocho did that on purpose. I feel like he trolled Twitter by trying to say he doesn't take his checkdowns, and he forces it in the traffic a lot.
What are you talking about? He checks down all the time.
You never watched him play, have you?
Nobody checks down like Justin Herbert does.
Have you watched him play? Yes, I have for 3 years. And everybody's been yelling at me when I say that. They tell me I'm a hater. I'm just happy we've come here. We finally made it 3 years. 3 years. You don't have to call Marcus a hater anymore. Everybody.
No, call him that. Call him that. Marcus, give him the social so they can call you a hater. Let's go. Right. Blow Let's it go. Up. Blow up at social ALPA. Media. Let's do it.
At ALPA underscore QB1. ALPA underscore QB1 for Instagram, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Follow us on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at King Manelos. Also, make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Do that right away. Check us out, guys. We're out here. Peace.